It's just that simple. This is not that deep. You are not to sue another believer. You're like, oh, no. If you have, you probably need to talk to God about it and work that out with him. Because it is something that is that does not bring him peace. It is not something that God wants us to handle, right? So here's Paul. He's going to the Corinth church. They're radically saved. They know who they are in Christ. They've been taught all the things that we've been learning, right? And he's like saying to them, what are you doing? Why are you bringing your Christian matters, the kingdom principles, the kingdom of God, which is who we are as believers, into a secular judging system? Why are you allowing the voices of the ungodly to rule over the godly? Wow. Right? And I started praying about this and asking God, where do you want me to go with this? And he says, who is speaking into their lives? Ask them. Ask them what voices are loudest in their lives that allow them to judge themselves, judge the way they live, judge how they do things, how they operate throughout their day. Guys, he made me an example like this. He said, when your mom speaks into your life, Jess, she's a godly woman. But if you had a mom who was not a godly woman constantly speaking into your life, that cannot be a voice you listen to. And I thought, ooh. You see, I don't know what you're surrounded by or who you're surrounded by. But the voice of God has to be what we listen to. So many times we've got judges, right, in place. And we've got, I understand business against business. But I will never forget. I'm really open with you guys. I remember there was this company I worked for. And a Mormon went into business with a Christian. And I actually worked for them when they first opened this thing. It was like one of the biggest. You guys remember it? Remember Pharaoh's Kingdom? Yeah. I was like one of their first employees. And I remember my dad was like, do you see the demons they put around their building? He goes, and now a Christian is in business with a Mormon, which Mormons are not Christians. I don't care what they say. And he goes, that is not going to work. Why? Because they're unequally yoked. And you see, we as Christians cannot do what the Word of God tells us to not do. So when I have a brother or a sister that I am upset with, and maybe you're in business together, you are not going to go sue them if they're another brother and sister. What does he say? He gives us clear, go to the saints. Go to the house of God. Go to people that have been sanctified and justified and understand what the Word of God says. Why? Because there's wisdom there. And we operate by the kingdom of God. We do not operate by the systems of this world. And so many times this division will come into our lives. And what voices, what carnal, ungodly voices have been allowed to rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives? There are different ways this can happen. This can happen through social media. The Lord was revealing this stuff to me. He's like, I'm using suing your brother, but what is that voice that's speaking into your life and judging and making a moment for you? But you watch things on social media, and then all of a sudden you gain an opinion. But whose opinion are you gaining? Right? Politics. Whose opinion are you gaining? What your family has always thought? What you've always been taught to do? Or are you getting the heart of God in the matter and going, I don't see God in that? Listen, I don't see God on both sides. But the reality is I got to stand for who stands for what Christ stands for. That's bottom line. Courts. You see the courts, they make these crazy judgments. Now I just think they're twisted. They're going after businesses. They're breaking constitutional laws. I mean, why would we listen to what is being broken down in the systems? How about some ungodly friends? We form opinions. We let them judge us. We let them get into our marriages. We let them get into the way we parent our children because their opinion matters to us, because their comments will shape the way I do things instead of finding out what this says about how to parent and how to be a wife or how to be a friend. It's so subtle, guys. All of us have it in our lives. And I feel like the Lord is like saying, will you listen to what's judging and forming an opinion in your life? Because only what is of God should be the one allowed to speak into your life and form opinions. How about this? We go to counselors. Oh, I need a therapist. Well, is your therapist saved? Because if you go to an unsaved therapist or counselor, you're going to get the world's systems and ways of trying to fix things that only the Holy Spirit and God can actually do. You're wasting your time. I have a niece. She's going to Northwestern University. I guess that's like a upper end college. I don't know. She's the only saved person in her whole entire, she's becoming a therapist, a Christian counselor. And she was talking to me about this when we were together at the funeral, and she said, I'm literally the only Christian on campus. And she goes, and you should see them trying to help people. It is so sad to me that people are going to just make a life. What Satan is doing is he's telling people how messed up they are. So then they constantly need to just have a lifestyle of therapy, which is never going to get them anywhere because there's no power in it. And she goes, so then when I come in with a God idea, with a God plan, I had this homosexual gay therapist come to me who said he was atheist and wanted nothing to do with what I was saying, but he could not help his client. And I said, have you ever tried this and this and this? And he was like, where did you get that from? And she's like, it's called the Bible. You see, God knows how to help us. God knows how to lead us and to guide us, but yet we're allowing worldly systems and the voices of what the systems, broken systems, should I say, of the world come and become and form opinions and judgments and ways in our lives. And we as Christians so easily fall into this. And what does that bring? It brings division amongst us. It just does. See, those walking in the Spirit on a daily basis are going to get the Word of God. We're here today, ladies. Why? Because we want to hear what the Word of God says. And I can talk about a random subject like being sued or suing your brother and sister, but yet I can see God in that in every area of my life. And the simplicity of it is, now I know I'm not going to sue my brother or sister. Right? Now listen, if they're ungodly, he says, go ahead. Watch God work on your behalf, because there's righteousness there. So if we've established these godly relationships, then we have this accountability that we need in our lives to help judge matters that here on earth we can work through, because why? We're the body of Christ. We have everything we need in Christ Jesus. And this is why God created the ecclesia, the church, right? Because we're a corporate anointing. Satan does everything he can to bring offense to us, to try and divide us, to hurt us, and I just can't get past it, and take us out of a covering that God placed over our lives. Why? Right? Why? So that he can pull you out from the relationship of unity, the relationship of good judgment in your life, the relationship of, hey, I'm dealing with this issue. What do you think on this matter? And let the older women teach the younger women. They could come in and go, hey, I've been there. Let's see, this is what God does. This is what his word says. You're going to make it through this. You're not the only one. And it's just nice to hear sometimes, right? Around the table, we're praying together. Why? Because we can be vulnerable and we can say, hey, I don't have it all together, but I have a company of people that I know that when we get together and we speak the word of God, there's power that's released, and that Satan's power has no more authority in my life. And so we're bringing these matters to the table when we go to the saints of God instead of going to the courts and the judges. Now, we have to establish these relationships. If you say, well, I don't have any Christian friends, you have to be a friend to make a friend. That's what the Bible says. So many times, well, you know, I go to that church and nobody talks to me. Well, do you talk to anybody yourself? Do you reach out? Do you ask people to go to lunch? Do you work at it? Because the reality is, it takes two to tango. But we're living in such a world right now where everybody's about I, and they're selfish. And so then they get all butt hurt, Christians, okay? Can I say butt hurt in the pulpit? They get all butt hurt when so-and-so didn't call me. Why didn't you call them? Maybe they're busy. Maybe they got a lot going on. Maybe they're just not thinking about you because they're thinking about everybody else that they have to manage or who's in their life. What season do they find themselves in? You see, we can so easily pull each other apart and tear each other apart. So then when we need that wisdom to judge a matter and to take care of a situation instead of going to the courts or going to the outside world, we don't have that community. And this is something God has robbed from the church. This is something that he has stolen from us. And girls, it's time for us to take it back. That means that we've got to work a little harder at loving each other a little better so that we can have some relationships and so we can understand some things. I promise you right now, you will be offended with each other. But what do? When somebody offends us, we go to our brother, we talk to them, we work it out, right? And then we forgive and we forget and we move on. We can do this, church. We have been trained. Oh, but I have so much church hurt. Yeah, you know what? Talk to every pastor in the world. They live in church hurt. They don't leave their church. Thank God. Suck it up, buttercup. Move on. Get in faith. Start praying and believe in God. Begin to move in forgiveness. I mean, the world is telling you to live in your sadness so that you can be with a therapist forever so you can keep those people that are ungodly employed. Come on, guys. Let's get with God, the ultimate therapist, the ultimate counselor, the comforter of our souls, the lifter of our weariness, the one who is the judge, the ultimate authority, the one who knows all, sees all, is all, who sits on his throne and is worshiped, who is adorned. That is who we serve. But yet we bring our matters into a secular world for the judgment of that world to speak into spiritual things. What are we doing? You see, Paul was so angry with them. Paul has been pretty mad at them this whole time. But nothing has changed. I can't tell you how many times I have people sitting in my office because a business deal went wrong. And now we're leaving the church because so-and-so did. I wish people would tell us when they leave the church. Now they just leave and don't tell us. And me and Dan are like, did we do something? I don't know what happened. You know, and then you talk to them. No, nothing. We're good. No, you're not good. You're offended. And you need to work through that. Right? Why? Because God anoints us to be able to have a discernment, to bring unity and not division. But when we, the church, the believers, the ecclesia, the children, the men and the sons and the daughters of Christ, operate as the world operates, we then begin to sue each other, bite and devour each other, and look just like the world and not like Christ. And that's what was happening in the Corinthian church. And guys, I hate to say this, but this is what has been happening in the American church as well. I cannot speak for the other churches, but the American church is the first to shoot you when you're down. The first. And not give grace. And you see, we've got to walk in love with each other. This is a journey of learning how to love as Christ loved. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. We are learning to leave our past. We are going towards what God has. We need the wisdom of God. That's why we need each other. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snares of their own cleverness." Ooh, I'm watching the State of the Union, the things that are being said. I'm like, bind those words in the name of Jesus. I'm crazy, so like if I hear these things, I'm speaking to them. Because why? These are spirits that people are moved by. Don't be moved, church. Don't be moved by ungodliness. Don't be moved by a man. We don't worship men. We worship God. We are not of this world. We are in it, but we are not of it. You are set apart, a chosen, and a royal priesthood. Remember who you are. And so God will take care of that craftiness and that deceitful lie. You see it. I turned on the news yesterday. I almost threw something at it. Like, why is this allowed in America? I just couldn't understand it. And the Lord said, because it's the foolishness of this world. It's the sinful craftiness of Satan that has been allowed to speak and overtake the now the colleges. A spirit of murder. The same spirit that was in the Old Testament is operating right now in the New Testament. Girls, get in your word. Find out about it. See what God says. This is not a humanitarian issue. This is a sin issue. This is good and evil. This is the same war that has been going on since the beginning of time. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. These are broken systems. We are only here for one purpose, to preach the gospel, to tell someone that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Take as many souls with you to heaven as you can. You cannot fix these broken systems. Why? Because this is what's happening. It's all lining up for God to come back right now. So when we begin to understand what the scriptures are saying and what's happening right now, I'm excited. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm excited. Why? Because my God is still on the throne, and he's going to have the final say in all of this. But me, I refuse to be a part of what this world is shouting. I will love my brother and sister. I will forgive. I will choose not to be offended. I don't care what their background is, who they are, what their gender is. Now listen, if you want to sin, you go sin. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you you're okay. Because I'm going to tell you that there's a God in heaven who loved you so you don't have to live in that sin anymore or identify with something that will take you straight to hell. Somebody, Christians, will you please stand up? Begin to be his voice. Begin to speak the truth of God's love and the truth of righteousness. Why? Because they hear sin and hell all the time, but they need someone in their life to judge the goodness of God and the favor of God. Somebody has to be that voice. I think about you, Dr. V, often. You've had to stand for righteousness in your family. You've had to stand for righteousness with your friends. It's not an easy thing to do. It's never fun. She's always like, I'm the bad guy. I feel that way too. I'm always the bad guy. How did I become the bad guy in this? Like, but all of a sudden, guys, anytime you speak on behalf of what God stands for, you're not going to be liked. So if we all just get it in our heads now, we're not going to be liked, but we will help each other through the hard part because we have to be righteous, because we are justified, because we are redeemed. We are no longer those things that we walked out of. That's why we could say to them, don't do it, right? Because we've been there. So then, let not these foolish things be taught through us. So let's get into our scriptures. We're going to dissect them. First verse, 1 Corinthians 6:1. Dare any of you having this matter against one another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints. Let's talk about what a saint is. A saint is us. Say, I'm a saint of the Most High God. Yeah. It means we're sacred. We are pure. We are morally blameless. We are religious. We are consecrated. And we are holy before Christ. This is who you are. See, the saints are in a position of sanctification. That means we have been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, right? And the word of his testimony. We have been washed pure. We have been washed away. Those sins and those shames and those things that we used to be are no longer our identification because I am now sanctified in Christ Jesus, right? And so we are righteous. What does righteous mean? It means I am right standing with Christ. I may not be right standing with my family or with my friends or with, you know, the outside world, my boss, whoever, but I am right standing with Christ. And I work hard at staying in the position that God has ordained me in. And I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about you. You are righteous before Christ. You are sanctified by God. That means we are saints. We are in a position of this. We declare the outcome according to the word of God, and we discern what the Holy Spirit is showing us in a matter. Whoa, hold on. Everything just changed. Because I don't need an outside court to tell me how to love my kid and tell me how to discipline my kid and tell me what word I should teach my children to say and not say. I don't need an outside court to tell me I could go to jail if I tell my child that she is a woman of the Most High God. Because that's what these young parents are facing right now. And yet, church, since when do we go against what God ordained? I would be worried for you if you gave in to what the world tells you to do because you're afraid of them more than you are of God. Let's not go there. But see, we declare the outcome according to what? The Word of God. We bring the discernment of the Holy Spirit into our lives and into the situation of those around us. Why? Because we have the wisdom of God, not just the knowledge of man. Wow. Right? One time I had this woman come to me. I'm going to tell you this story. Oh, she came to me, and she was making this accusation about another wonderful, godly woman here at this church, and I'm listening to her story, and I could tell she was really upset, and it was like, that's the truth, and so you need to follow me, and that's what happened. And I listened to her, and I said, okay, so have you gone to them with this, what you just told me? And she said, no. And I said, well, why not? Well, I don't really know them. But wait, you made a lot of accusations towards them to not know them. And maybe you need to get to know them before and have a meeting. Why don't I meet with you guys? And then that way it's a little bit more formal and I'll kind of be the mediator and we can work through this so that there's not this division. No, I'm not doing it. I will not do it. That doesn't need to happen. Guess what happened? They ended up not liking me because they told me something. And I ended up saying, this is not the way this works. And they ended up leaving the church and not even here anymore. And the other person ended up being elevated. God uses them mightily in ministry, and I don't know where the other people ended up. But I'm here to tell you, I was not going to listen to that. I was not going to be a part of that. I tried to be a fair judge in that and to go, let's talk together because everybody has their own side. But then it's what does God say, right? I have my perspective. I have my way of thinking about it. You have your way of thinking about it. Well, what does God say about it? Bottom line, I've been in many times, this has happened to me, many times. But we as believers need to beware of secular judges and juries that may be speaking matters on spiritual things. I've heard this in the courts. I don't know if you guys have, where the court will actually talk about what the Bible should and shouldn't say. California actually went through this because they're trying to ban any books that talk against homosexuality. Well, guess what? Boy, that's not obvious what they're doing, right? And so what happened was these judges were trying to say, well, you have to take these things out. You have to take these things out. And the Bible clearly states, do not add or remove from my word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just because society lives that way doesn't mean God is okay with it. Right? And so the reality is they didn't, because then they would have to do that to the Torah and to the Quran and to all the other books that people read. And so when we allow worldly ideas and judges to speak on spiritual matters, we are foolish ourselves because they have no right to speak into godly things, right? We need to keep in mind that our lives are in the hands of God, girls. Your life is in the hand of God. It is not in the hand of man. If man ever takes your life, you're still in the hand of God. Because we may pass from these bodies, but we do not die. We go to be with our Maker in heaven. I put my dad in the ground. We cremated him. We put him in the ground. At first, you know, he was a Catholic, so he was really struggling with, am I cremated? Am I not? Literally the week before, he's sitting down with me and Mama. He's like, if I ever die, just cremate me. That's a bunch of crap what I was believing. He's like, I've been reading through the Bible. I mean, it says that he's going to pull them up out of the ocean after they've been eaten by all the animals. God gives us new bodies. And I'm like, yes, Dad, this is what I've been trying to tell you. I don't know what they told you in Catholic school, but. And he's like, oh, gosh, you guys, just cremate me. I ain't here anyways. Just throw me out in the desert and bury me. I mean, like this guy. He was horrible. He was so funny. And so we ended up struggling, but he's in Oregon. We're here, right? And we got to, it takes $15,000 to transport his body. Yeah, so that decision was made easy for us. Because we don't got that. And so we transferred him in cremation. And when we put him in the ground, you know, the Lord says that they need to be buried and they need to be sown into the ground. Isn't that beautiful? That our flesh is put back into the dust. Isn't that powerful how God, everything speaks. Everything speaks. We're put back into the dust in which we were created. But our spirit man is alive with Christ. Isn't that good news? When you understand the depth of these things, when you understand the power of these things, all of a sudden, what does a man who does not know or follow God have to speak into my life? I have the wisdom of heaven operating on my side, on my team. You see, there is wisdom for us girls. We don't need that to be spoken into our lives. We are held by the kingdom of the living God. We are part of the kingdom of God. Remember who you are. That's what Paul was saying to them. Don't you know who you are? 1 Corinthians 6:2 says, do you not know that saints will judge the world? Hold on, we just came up a level. And if the world will be judged by you, are you not unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Hold on a second. I'm going to judge the world? Yep. Let's talk about it. God talks about this. Daniel had a vision. Go with me to Daniel 21 through 22. And actually, I put it in the Passion Translation because I thought it was way easier to understand and read. And so it says, Daniel's having this vision. And it's of God on the throne, and he's surrounded by four different creatures. And then it goes into this part about us. And I thought this was so powerful. Daniel 7, 21 through 22, it says, as I watched the horn, okay, there was a creature with a horn. It was Satan's rule. Okay, I put that in parentheses so that you could see. Fought against the holy ones. Who were the holy ones? Saints. That was us. And was defeating them until, can you just see this in a movie? Until the everlasting one came on the scene, and he handed judgment over to the saints of the Most High. And dominion was given to the holy ones, that's us saints, of the Most High. And then the time came when the holy ones took possession of the kingdom of God. Why are we not taking possession and taking back what Satan has stolen from us? Revelations 2:26 says, to all who are victorious, this is Jesus speaking, who obey me to the very end. Do I have anybody here that wants to obey God to the very end? To them I will give authority over all nations. He then goes in to talk about how we will judge angels. He did say that. And so guys, I don't know if you know who you are. I'm just this girl that grew up in San Bernardino. Nobody liked me. I'm not that smart. You know, I'm just, nobody really knows who I am. Oh, no, heaven knows who you are. Yeah, heaven knows who you are. You got to sit a little taller today, girls. You got to stand a little stronger today, girls. You got to know who you represent when you walk into a room today, girls. If you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, you have made him the Lord and Savior of your life. You will judge beside him others one day. Wow. So when we think of this, I love how some of these things, we need to understand that we will judge what is of God and what is not with him. When we allow sin and the ways of this world to be in our lives, we are giving way to ungodly practices of the outside world which are not a part of us any longer. I believe we're denying Christ when we do that. We do not understand that we are giving mere man the ability, listen to this, to speak and make calls into our lives that one day when this thing is all wrapped up, we will be sitting on the right hand of Christ and we will be judging alongside of him the same people who we allowed to speak carnal wisdom into our lives here on earth. The roles will be reversed. Don't let them speak into your life now. You see, the kingdom of God is all that we need. We lay aside petty things. We stop biting and devouring and backbiting each other, but we choose to love each other even when it's not easy. The world's ways are Satan's ways, but the God's ways are our ways, church. Our ways. I will talk always, and I will stand for what God stands for. If they have to lock me up and throw me away in prison, I will do it. Why? Because in this earth, we are going to be suffering. We were promised suffering. Why do we have to go through suffering? Why? Because in suffering, you find Christ in a deeper way. In suffering, you see God in a broader span than you would in your little narrow comfort zone. Because when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, you can look to God, who is your anchor and your staff, and he will lead you out of that path, and he will take you to still waters. Why is suffering going to be a part of our lives? You know, we go through one thing, and then we're like, oh, we made it through. And then have you ever found out something else happens? And something else happens, right? I was fighting this sickness from October into January. I thought, I'm going to have that surgery. I'm going to recover. I recover. I come back and preach in a pulpit. The next week, my dad dies. It's one thing after another. And it's been that way since we said yes to this job. And I sat in a conference last week, and I watched a lady who had, she had a stroke. And at the age of 26, she lost everything. And she was unconscious. Her baby was 6 months old when she went into that stroke. And it was 8.5 months old when she woke up. But her revelation of suffering is absolutely beautiful. And as I sat there and looked at her and thought, she's not sorry for herself. Why? Because she knows who her God is. When I watched my dad cremated and I thought, I'm so worried about the cellulite on my butt all the time. It's just getting burdened up anyways. I literally did have that thought while I was at the burial. I was like, it's all burning up. I'm going to go eat cookies today. What's the best chip? I'm going to go find me some chips. I'm wearing some Lucy clothes because I really liked my eating habits that you all made me food. Thank you so much for all the comfort food. And so, but the reality is this is just going to fade away. It goes away. We're so worried about how we look. We're all comparing ourselves. We're all worried about our identity. You got a penis or a vagina. Listen, doesn't matter because it's all getting burned up. What did you do on earth for Jesus is what's going to be mattering when you have to die and have to stand before him. See, sin isn't worth it. I will stand in the pulpit. Why? Because I don't answer to man, I answer to God. You don't answer to man, you answer to God. 1 Corinthians 6:3-8, let's keep going. Do you not know that you will judge angels? How much more do the things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments dealing with this matter of life, do you not appoint as judges those who are least esteemed in the church? I speak to your shame. Is it true that there is not even one wise man among you who shall be able to judge between his brothers? I mean, seriously, right? How many times have we been like, there's no one. I have no one. I think of Elijah. There's no one but me. And God's like, there's like 7,000 more people like you. Like, right? But brothers, go to the law against your brother and before unbelievers at that. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you to go to the law against one another. Why not be rather wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? Oh, we're too big for that. But you yourselves do wrong and you defraud and you do this to your brothers. I loved what this person was writing about this passage. He said, where does this leave the squabbling about everyday affairs and matters pertaining to us in this life? Angels have a difficult role to play at the best of times. They are the best engineers to worship of heaven and to the service of the saints. But there are immense difficulties for them to understand the glories of salvation. Indeed, Peter imagines them peering down from heaven, trying to penetrate the mysteries of what it means to be redeemed. But guys, we just know what it means to be redeemed. But they look at us like, what is that like to be redeemed? But by and large, the manifold wisdom of God, seen in the unsearchable riches of Christ, is beyond them and the principalities and powers. They cannot even understand it as we do. It is a task of the redeemed people, that's us, including the Church of the Corinth, to communicate this divine wisdom to these angelic beings. Wow. Wow. You see, Jesus came to this earth. He walked on this earth. He understood what you understand. He understood rejection. Hey, check this out. He was single. So for all the single people in here, Jesus was single. And he kept it cool for 33 years. You can do this. Right? Like, Jesus was rejected. He was beaten. He was bloody. He understood pain, and his friend died. Yes, he did raise him just up from the dead. I mean, I would love to just be like, in the name of Jesus, you know. But he just did what he did here on earth. Why? So that we would have an understanding that God himself wrapped himself and humbled himself in flesh. He came low to come be with us. Why? So we could be redeemed. So we could understand the glory of God on a level of humanity. The angels don't even understand that, but we do. You see, the depths of what God gives us is so powerful, and we don't know who we are. We carry the kingdom of God in our everyday. In our redeemed lives, that we are so broken, but we aren't broken. Quit calling yourselves broken. Quit it. You're redeemed. You're reconciled. You're restored. You're anointed. You're holy. You see, we have to understand that these angels we will judge the fallen angels. We will not judge the good ones, okay? So let me just clear this up for you. There were a whole bunch of fallen angels when Satan was kicked out of heaven, the demons. We will judge them. They will be judged. And I do wonder, I was thinking about this, I'm like, so are we going to know if they messed with us on earth too? Like, are we going to know? Oh, you're the one that went after my kid. I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, this is not theology. This is totally not. But I do wonder what we will be revealed with. What will we understand? What will be the depths of those things? We will judge them. And this talks about this in Revelation. This is our destiny and our position as saints. So we are bringing church affairs to this world. What happens? It becomes embarrassing for us as believers. It looks foolish to the world. We look stupid as Christians. They make fun of us. When we don't do our part as believers, when we don't be who God called us to be, the world looks at us and says, why should I serve God? You're not any different than I am. You see, we're bad Christians. We need to remember who we are. If we are Christians, we are destined, and we are co-administrators of justice in the coming world, then we should be able to judge small matters. And guys, things that are going on here are small matters. Have you ever thought, it's the end of the world? I'm never going to survive from this. I'm going to die. I remember my first heartbreak. Oh, my gosh. I remember being like, you know, 16 years old. This guy left me for my friend. And and I remember telling my mom, I'm just going to die. And she was like, I promise, honey, you won't die. And I'm like, no, I'm going to die. It just hurts so bad. And then like a month later, I was like, oh, I don't like that guy. He's stupid. Right? Because in the moment of whatever we're going through, it seems so big. But to God, who created everything, when we bring it to him, he's going to give us a God perspective on the things that are hard that we don't know how to get through. Guys, your kids are not too big for him to handle. Just keep praying. My grandma prayed for my uncle for her whole life, and she said, I don't want to go until I know that Gary is going to be with us in heaven. And my grandma passed, and Uncle Gary had not received Christ. My dad prayed for my uncle every day. And at that funeral, my whole entire side of my dad's family raised their hand, and they got saved at that funeral. They did not get to see. My grandma and my dad did not see that here on earth. I believe they're in the great cloud of witnesses praising God for that. But they all, my whole family, got saved that day. Why? Because of the prayers of the saints. Don't stop praying. Don't stop, girls. Don't stop staying in faith. Don't stop because you think God hasn't showed up. God's showing up. Maybe not in your timing, but you got to trust that you know that your God is more than enough, that his word is standing firm, that his word will be portrayed, it will be spoken, and it will come to pass. And sometimes you just got to come to AM to be reminded about that. So let me ask you a question. I like how it talked about this point. It said, you know, what, can you not be wronged? Can we not be wronged? Can we turn the other cheek? Do we always have to have the final say in conflict? Do we need to defend ourselves, or is God really our defender? A whole nother message. Matthew 5:39 says, but I say unto you, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer your other cheek also. If you are sued in court or your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. Guys, are we operating right as believers to each other? Or are we just like, nah, they wronged me? No, I don't know. I understand you need some time to heal. I do. It might be good for you to separate so you don't keep saying dumb things. Do what you got to do. I just go silent because I know I could kill with my mouth. And I don't want to do that. So I just let God do what he needs to do, and then I go silent. There may be seasons. There might be boundaries. Go to Breaking Free. They will teach you how to put the boundaries there. But more times than I can count, I have had to apologize to other believers for things that I have never done, but they truly believe that I did. So many times. Probably most of the time. And I have thought to myself, can we play the rewind on that, God? Like, am I deceiving myself? Because I swear I did not say that to them. But see, Satan comes in, and he throws fiery darts at us. And he puts thoughts into our minds. And girls, we're bad at this. We listen. And all of a sudden, it becomes our reality. And we make blanket statements like, they don't want me in their life. They're not this. Did it, whatever. And I've done it myself. And I've had to let the Spirit of God come to me and be like, you did that, not me. That was your thought, not mine. I need you to do this. I understand you need to heal from this. Take some time. But then you cannot stay away. They are a believer. You have to walk in love. I am still pray for my enemies every day. And a lot of my enemies, guys, are Christians. Talk about church hurt. Why? Not because they're enemies, but because Satan has tried to make them enemies. And I have had to choose, no, I refuse to have that final outcome in their lives and in my life. And guess what I do? I made a list, and they're on my prayer chain. Every day I pray for them. Every day I ask for the power of God to move in their lives. I send them texts. I tell them how much I love them. I do all these things for them. They probably don't even realize what I'm doing. But you know what I'm doing? I'm countering the devil because I will not let him have that. He will not. I may not be close with them. Okay, guard yourselves because some of them are pretty lethal. And they got their own issues that they need to deal with. And you cannot allow those demons to jump on you. But I have had to have some boundaries put up, but I'm still in contact and in love with them. And see, when we understand, I've got to act like the kingdom, I don't get to not turn my cheek. I don't get to be selfish and keep my cloak. I don't get to do that. Somebody wants to wrong me? Okay. Dan and I have joked about, we're getting a shirt that says, it's my fault, it's okay. Because for some reason, somehow, it ends up our fault, and we won't even be in the situation, and we're like, how did that happen? It's almost comical now. But I think every Christian should have that shirt. It's my fault. It's okay, because I'm big enough to carry it. I'm big enough to not let it drag me down. I can take it off. You can't, but I can. because I'm in the power of God, and I will choose to still walk in love with you and be kind, and I will follow what Christ tells me to do for you. Why? Because I'm in the Spirit, because I'm of the kingdom of God. I'm not of the kingdom of this world. I'm not in those protests. None of them. Why? Not because they're right or wrong. No, because why? Because in the kingdom of God, my brother and my sister, if you are born again saved, we are family. And we will walk in love with each other. And we will coincide and love each other through the hard places, the systems of this world. That's what they're protesting. Systems of this world. Demonic things. See, I'm not of this world, but I'm of God. That means I can turn my cheek. So how, I want you to ask yourself this question. How are we as brothers and sisters treating each other? Are we believing the best? Are we taking care of other believers? See, the Corinth church was not. They were suing each other, backbiting, fighting amongst themselves. They look no different than the world. I'm saddened to say that I do not see this as a pastor. I wish I did, but I'm praying that this church will get good at loving each other. And that even though we are from all different walks of life, all socio classes, all everything that you, we would all never just normally be together. But the beauty of it is that we are a melting pot of God's goodness and restoration. We are all born by the blood of the Lamb. We are all sisters in Christ Jesus. And that means that we can work together, love each other, overlook foolishness. Somebody says something dumb to you, don't take it all mad and never talk to them again. And then if you go to them and be like, hey, you said this, it hurt my feelings, and their response is, no, I didn't, da-da-da-da, and you're like, never mind, never going to talk to you again. Just pray for them. Understand, they're not mature enough yet in the Spirit of God to own having a hard conversation. And having hard conversations is a part of our lives, right? It's a part of who we are. Satan says, don't confront. Keep it in. Then get isolated in it. Let it rob your joy. Let it then rob friendships. Let it then rob relationships in your home because now you're crabby all the time and your kids don't want to be near you. You see what I'm saying? It just eventually builds into something it should never be. Why? All. Because in the first place, we allowed Satan to come in and rob and to steal and to destroy. There are going to be conversations you're going to have with other believers that you're going to understand where they're coming from, and you're going to just have to agree to disagree. That's love, guys. I may not like what you said or even understand where you're coming from, but I still love you anyways. And because of that, let's just move on. Let's move forward. Let's change the subject. You see, keep peace where you can. Do what you can do, right? Okay, so then if we are cautious of each other because we are untrusting of each other, so many times you have trust issues because of your past. And so you project that onto the body of Christ. And let me tell you this, you will project that onto your relationship with Christ. If you cannot trust God because of what has happened to you in your past, I'm here to tell you, you need some healing from that. And I'm going to ask you to please sign up for Breaking Free or go see a pastor because God wants you to be able to trust him. When you can fully rely and trust on who Christ is and what he's doing in your life, then you're going to be in the realm of safety and security that you've never known before because your walls instantly go up and we begin to just, I don't trust anyone. But if you don't trust anyone, you don't even trust God. And let's get ourselves to the point where we heal so that we can trust God. So when he says go, we hear him and we can go. When he says do this for so-and-so, you're like, okay, that's easy. I can do that. And you're able to just go and move. When he says make this business deal and you make that business deal and he blesses your business. Why is that? Because you have a trust connection with God and you're not mistreating others, but you are also loving God as you love others and love yourself. Romans, well, actually, do I have time? No. Well, we had our small group, huh? Oh, okay, I can keep going. Are you guys okay? Am I talking too much? Okay, go with me to Romans. How should we treat each other? Ooh. Listen, I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. I'm not standing up here like I got it all together. I'm working this out as much as you have. I'm just anointed to preach it. but I'm not any more anointed to live it than you are. I got to apply these things just like you do. Go with me to Romans 12, 9 through 21. And it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor and giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit in serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope and patience in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion, but repay no evil, for have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it at possible, as much as depends on you, so as much as you can do, girls, okay, I live in this verse, live peaceably with all men. Wow. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's who we are supposed to be. Not to sue each other, not to beat each other up, but to walk in love with each other. All right, we're going back into 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Are you guys okay? We're going to finish this up. This one is going to be kind of hard to hear because you might have people in your lives that are living in these ways that God talks about. You need to pray for them. You need to witness to them. You need to not back away from the truth that will save their souls, okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Remember, we talked about deception earlier this year. Neither the sexually immoral, what does that mean? It means sex before marriage. Nor idolaters, they idolize things. How many people idolize cars or clothes or makeup or work? I don't know. They idolize humans, right? The way people love Taylor Swift, good Lord Almighty, there has to be something demonic attached to that. There is something. It's not funny. It's real. It's a spirit. Beyonce, all of it, guys, demonic. They're idols. Nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes. I don't know why not female prostitutes. Just kidding. Nor homosexuals. You guys didn't catch that, really? Nor thieves. Nor covetousness. Now, what is that? I want what they have. Ooh, I wish that I could have that. Look at them all in their new house and everything and their vacations that they get to go on. What is that? That's covetousness. You're wrong. You should be celebrating that God has blessed them and that they can do those things instead of looking at yourself and comparing. When you compare yourself with someone else, somebody gets smaller and it's usually you. So don't do that. How about drunks? Drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Oh, how many extortioners have we been learning about in the news? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. Woo! Right? All right, all right. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. You see, church, we cannot bite and devour each other, but we have to run from things that are of sin and things that are not of God's ways so that we can step into all God has for us. I've heard people tell me, Pastor Jess, this is just too hard. I can't do it. And I'm like, what's too hard? Serving God? It's harder not to serve God. You have to really work at this. Because he chases you. He runs after you. He gives you ways of escape along the path of sin. He really does. He is your rescuer. He is your restorer today. You need to remember, girls, that you have been justified by Christ. Wow. That cross justifies you. That's powerful. You have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the cross made you righteous, right? Standing with Christ. So I want everybody to sit up straight. Hold your shoulders back. Come on, do it. Put a smile on your face. Because you're beautiful, right? And just say, I am justified by Christ. I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. I will love people the way God asked me to. I will speak on God's behalf. And I will not allow the world systems to overtake me. Good. So there are some things that I just want you, that if we could just wrap up some things to walk away with today out of that just section of teaching that we had. I would want you to, number one, learn. Take your matters to the church and other believers to get them resolved. Okay? Take them to the church and other believers. Get wise counsel, godly spiritual counsel. You don't have to do life alone. Stop allowing yourself to be isolated. Number two, remember your righteous position in the kingdom of God. When you so easily forget who you are and you feel defeated, I want you to do what you just did right now. I want you to remind yourself that you're justified, that you're a daughter of the Most High God, that you have the faith of God working in and through you, and that you are a force to be reckoned with here on this earth. Number three, choose to be kind to other believers. This is something you're going to have to probably think about. All of us may not be thinking about that. You might be thinking about other things and have a serious look on your face all the time. And people don't know what's going on with you. That's me. When I'm working, you know, they're like, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm thinking about what I'm doing. You know, like, don't take it so personal. Are you that insecure? Like, like, that's what I want to say on the other end of it. But I'm not. I don't. But let's not get so easily offended over foolish things like that. Let's just say, hey, maybe she's thinking about something and move on. Right? So-and-so died and Pastor Jess didn't call me. No, but Pastor Sue and Pastor Michelle and all the other people called you. Pastor Jess sent them. She's in the middle of something. It doesn't mean that you're not important. You see how Satan does these things to people in their head? It's so stupid. I'm just using me as an example because I can speak on my behalf. I can't speak for you. You know, my mom should have done this. My mom should have done that. Listen. If your mom is jacked up, don't expect much. Just love her anyways. That's a lesson I had to learn. Not that my mom's jacked up, but there were seasons my mom was going through, and I wanted her to be there for me in her broken season. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm going through my own thing right now. Right? And yet we can still be harsh with each other. We have these expectations with each other. You cannot, girls, I'm just gonna give you this for free. You cannot be all things to all men. And I know that I'm speaking to myself too, right? You do what you can, but I'm not their savior and you're not their savior, okay? But let's lead them to the savior when we're with them because that's where they're going to find their strength, okay? And so let's do this together. If all of us are in this together, loving each other and committing to be these Christians, in this next season of life, can you imagine what the Rock Church will be like? We'll be like this magical, powerful force that people are like, what is happening over there? Well, the love of God is happening. And when people walk in with foolishness, it doesn't last very long because they get renewed, because this power of God comes on them and their lives begin to change and their thinking one way turns into a new way because they found what God said and they want to run after what God does instead of what the world has taught them or what their broken families have taught them. You see, you might be learning all of this for the first time, and that's okay. One thing at a time, guys. I thought this weekend when I had to preach on the four commandments to the wife, I thought I was going to get stoned. Like, I had a dream that people met me at the back door. I was like, oh, gosh. I have to say these commandments in the middle of, like, this time and day and age we're living in? Like, submit to your husband. Let him be the head of the house. Don't be manipulative. Like, I mean, I was nervous. Why? Why was I nervous? I shouldn't have been nervous. Because why? Because when we get a hold of what God says, I got to change the way I do my life. God doesn't change himself for us. He already is perfect. We're going and working to be made perfect in him. Okay? So for some of you today, you're sitting in this room and you're going, I don't even know God like you're talking about. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. I never want you to walk out of any service that we have and not give you an opportunity to meet Jesus and make him the personal Lord and Savior of your life, to have this relationship that we talked about, to have the benefits of this beautiful relationship that he's given us. So today, if you've never asked him, I will give you an opportunity to ask him, and I'll lead you in a prayer, and you invite him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe you've been running from God instead of to God, and somebody brought you, and you're like, oh, now I kind of feel like I know why I'm here. But God loves you. He loves you so much. And you've been running from God instead of to God. You've been doing a lot of your own thing instead of God's thing. You've been doing things that only you know instead of what God knows. And you want to get right today. You're like, no, today I need to just make this commitment. I just need to give it all to God. And you want to commit to Christ today. I want to give you that opportunity. If you've been one that has been in sin, dabbling into witchcraft, I bring this into my altar calls because it's so big right now. And I don't think people realize that. What is witchcraft? Sage? Yeah? Angel numbers? What are those? Scorpios and all that stuff? Horoscopes and all that? Crystals? I mean, guys, Christians are doing this stuff. This is pagan idols, like God talked about in the scripture we just read. You need to repent. You need to give your heart and life back to Jesus. Because those are open doors for demonic things to enter. And you need to be delivered, and you need to be free, and you need to come to Jesus because he's the only way. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. So if you will come today humbly and just say, I'm in need of you, God. I want you to come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. And then he will come, and he will become the umpire of your soul. And he will lead you and guide you through your every day. You might be sitting in the room going, Pastor Jess, I'm a mess. I got to clean up some things before I come back to God. But I'm here to tell you, you will never be able to do that on your own. You need God to help you get out of the mess. If you were some of those positions that we were talking about in the scriptures today, nothing is too big for God. Absolutely nothing. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to restore you. But you got to make him the Lord and Savior of your life first. I want you to simply just hear this. You need Jesus. So today, how do you find him? You pray and you ask him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And you invite him in as the gentleman of your soul. And so today, if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart and into your life, I want to see your hands. I am going to put my glasses on for this. And if you've been running from God instead of to God, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. I'm going to go one, two, three, bang my hand on the table like that. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you've been running from God instead of to God, or if you just need to make him Lord of your life because you have been into some things you shouldn't be into and you need to repent, today's your day. So get ready on the count of three. One, two, three, raise your hands. Anybody in this room? Where's it? Oh, I see that hand. Beautiful, wonderful. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? I never want to just leave you. I want you to know before you walk out that you're secure in who you are. Okay, beautiful, wonderful. This is what we're going to do. This is Barbara right here. Barbara, can you stand up and wave? And this beautiful lady right here raised her hand. Will you? Oh, Deborah Sanchez? Where's Deborah? Deborah and Barbara. Okay. Well, maybe you two can go together for me. And would you guys just take her and pray with her for me so that we could save some time? And so will you just stand up and go with them? They're going to pray with you really quick, and they'll let you right back in, okay? They'll pray with you, and they'll walk you through that. Awesome. Well, girls, we have 15 minutes. Amen. All of you, I just want you to do something for me. How many full-time ministers do I have in this room? All right. Then you need to get to work. I need you to start praying and asking God who you can bring to church. And you go, oh, I've tried Pastor Jess, and I just annoy them. But you know what? It's a new season. Maybe you try again. And maybe it won't annoy them this time, right? So let's see who we can invite to church and let's see souls saved and not Satan win, but God win. All right? Because he's coming back, girls.